You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Two incredible guests. We have actor and director Lara McGregor, as well as Professor of Film and Media Catherine Fowler, coming in here to talk about the upcoming Prima Facie play. Is that how you pronounce Prima Facie?
Yeah.
Nail on the head.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
There's actually, like, this is actually a thing, so it's worth talking about really briefly, that Susie Miller, who wrote the play, said that you can actually say it how you like.
Okay.
But I think you've got the closest to it that I've heard anyone really. So well done.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much. Like I said, I'm joined by these two fantastic, incredible guests. How are we doing this morning, Lara and Catherine?
Good. Yeah. We've had a cuppa already at the Good Earth.
We've
been rocking it.
Of tea or coffee?
Oh, good question. Well, I had tea. What did you have?
I had coffee.
Yeah.
How do you like your coffee and how do you like your tea?
Well, it's got to be sweet for me.
Earl Grey with milk every time.
Oh, wow.
Such an old lady.
I don't really rock with a lot of coffee or tea, but I mess with peppermint tea quite heavy. That's my go-to.
Good.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Healthy Zach.
Yeah, thank you. I try to be where I can. I guess we'll get launched into the yarn now. My first question, I think, is for you, Lara. How did the collaboration between you and Alan Hall come about?
I've had connections with Alan Hall for a number of years now, not because I went through the program, but because of most of the people that work at the Theatre Studies Department, like Marty Roberts, Hilary Halber, Lisa Warrington when she was there, and all those wonderful, oh, I cannot forget Professor Stuart Young, who has retired this year, excuse me. So they have all been real champions throughout the years. When I was running the Fortune Theatre as artistic director there, we created a paper, especially for the Theatre Studies Department, and we worked on a collaborative show together called Punk Rock by Simon Stevens, which dealt with surprisingly quite heavy subject matter. Mm-hmm. It was about violence in schools, and that was an exceptionally successful collaboration that we had. It actually won the production of the decade.
Wow.
Very, very wonderful way to kick things off with them. And ever since, I've remained in close contact and worked with all of the people at Alan Hall. Mm. So Marty has stepped up like an absolute saint to house this production of Prima Facie at Alan Hall, because as we were just talking about before we went to air, there's a challenge within the community in terms of what's available in regard to adequate professional spaces that are warm and comfortable for our audiences and our performers. Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of like mid-sized theatres, it feels like there's not a lot of them around.
No. But there are robust discussions that have been happening for quite a while now with the Dunedin City Council. So
that's good.
He's hoping that one of those discussions bursts through and anywhere in the next 10 years we'll be seeing a new mid-sized venue. Yeah,
be perfect, be awesome. Catherine, my next question is for you. The Prima Facie play came out in 2019. It was conceived by the human rights and criminal defence lawyer turned playwright Susie Miller, and it tells the story of a barrister who specialises in defending men accused of sexual assault and whose view of the legal system changes after she is sexually assaulted herself. Is that a rough kind of overview of the play?
Those are the nuggets of the play.
The nuggets of the play.
But I think what you miss out there is really what happened after it was premiered in Australia, which is that it was put on at the West End with Jodie Comer as the actress. So many people will know her from Killing Eve. And then that transferred to Broadway. And it won practically every award going, really. So it was critically acclaimed. Really amazing. And as it gathered speed, what happened was that a kind of sense of its political power also gathered. So that play comes to Dunedin, you know, with all of those accolades, with all of that power. And that's why it's so significant that Lara is putting it on in little old Dunedin.
Well, we're a city that likes to punch above its weight in a lot of ways, and I think this definitely speaks to that element. The name of the production is a reference to the legal term prima facie, which means at first appearance or on the face of... on the face of it. It is used in both civil and criminal law to denote that on its face sufficient evidence exists to support a case. Could you explain how this relates to the story of the production?
Yeah, so again, it's quite significant that that's the title of the play chosen. You know, it's a term that's probably not known by many people outside the legal process, and that says something about the dramatic arc of the play, which is that it is absolutely about the legal process and the legal space and how law is made, and the fact that the main character, in fact the only character, because this is a one-woman play, is a lawyer, is really crucial to the dramatic arc of the play, because it's a play that fits with a lot of ways in which sexual violence stories are told now, that is through a kind of speaking out. So Tessa, the main character, speaks out across the play. We see the way that she transforms from being, you know, a lawyer who is very happy with her position, who believes in law as something that's kind of objective and reasonable and powerful, to when she ends up on the other side of the law, starting to understand how, you know, there's a gap really between those who make the laws that are made, how it's carried out in the court, and women's experiences as well. So it's really crucial that that's the title of the play, because that's the journey that we're going on with her.
It feels very, like the play feels like a very, very fitting highlight of our time, you know, with things like the Me Too movement and lots of really important accusations coming to light against very powerful figures.
Yes.
So it feels like it's very, very off the time, you know.
Susie, as you said earlier, was a criminal defence lawyer.
Yeah, human rights lawyer as well.
And she had the story sitting in her, because obviously as she was in that situation of being a lawyer, she was faced with these questions that kept arising. And it was propelled from the Me Too movement. It really gave her permission to write the story, and so she became a playwright later on in her life or her career, and she's obviously had a few plays before this one, but this one has really put her into the stratosphere.
Yeah,
and she's currently working on another one-person play in London, which sounds exceptionally exciting. So, yeah,
is it always a one-person play, one-woman play?
The
prima facie, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, true. So that's not just your creative direction there.
No. I'm certainly going to put 20 people in it. No. I mean, obviously, she references other characters all throughout the play, so it feels like there is a lot. There's a lot in there. But no, just the one actor.
True. We'll get to who that actor is in a second, but I want to ask you another question. This is the first time that you've solo produced and directed since leaving the Fortune Theatre since 2015, and you haven't worked in the city for 9 years.
No.
How does it feel back? Being back in Dunedin and working in Dunedin?
I love to, at the end of the day, drive home, go to my house. I love not having to pay Air New Zealand for extortional flights here.
Don't get me started.
Mostly I get paid to fly everywhere, but I just think it's a travesty. So that's a joy, obviously, to be around a lot of the creatives that I used to work with at the Fortune again, bring them all back on board. It's like the old team back together. You know, it's really, really wonderful in those ways. So.
Mm-hmm. So quite a return to the glory days.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I've been employed by WOW Productions, which to come and direct a show, which was called The Flick, fabulous show. So I did do that, I think, in 2019, maybe. And WOW have been a massive support on this production. All of those people I mentioned at the Theatre Studies Program, they've created their own theatre company and have been working under the guise of WOW for many, many years. So I have done that, and I'm also one of the, I call myself a silent producer on the Summer Shakespeare here, which I started with two other wonderful women, Kim Morgan and Jessica Latin. So I know, I'm active in Little Fingers and Pies, but not in terms of, paying my mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is what it is, I guess. as we mentioned before, this is going to be a one-woman play, and it's starring Otipoti's own Serena Cotton, who's been in the television series The Gulf, Broken Wood Mysteries, and the film Ablaze. You wouldn't be collaborating with someone this is the third time you're collaborating with them, and you wouldn't be collaborating with someone this much if you thought they weren't worth their salt. So I want to know what makes Serena great in your eyes.
She's just good. She's really good. She's smart. She's technically astute in terms of what it takes to do a play like this. Mm-hmm. It's very, very technically demanding. Because the character of Tessa, the storytelling devices operate in three different levels at all different times. That's really challenging. Plus the vocal requirements, plus the ability to go to difficult places every rehearsal. So she has all that going on. Sometimes as a director, you're a director, but you're also an educator, and you're having to be gentle and to teach people as you go. Not often in the professional landscape, but sometimes, because new people are coming out of drama school and they haven't had a great deal of experience. But obviously Serena's been around for a while, and she's magnificent.
Mm, she knows her stuff.
She didn't fall off the ugly tree either, you know? She's
I want to know, how did you approach utilising the space of Allen Hall Theatre to deliver the most you can with this play?
Good question. We're just talking about this with Catherine before we came here. It's a very simple concept that I've created for it. The key thing is the actor and the audience. And it's so funny because I'm wanting to push, because we don't have the facilities to do incredible, professional, technically creative shows due to funding cuts and venue issues. I'm still obviously wanting it to feel really high end as I can make it, and I kept saying I don't want to have a chair, a light and a floor. We're going to move into this realm, and I haven't ended up with a chair and a light and a floor, but it's a very simple concept that is like a high end chair, light and floor. So we've created a stage that takes up most of the space in Allen Hall, with a lot of side lighting, a cyclorama at the back that helps us with our mood changes throughout the show. Mm-hmm. It's raised off the floor to give a sense it's just coming towards the audience a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And some simple set pieces that we utilise to just as landing points for the actor throughout the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Catherine, my next question is for you. You're a professor of film and media, but have you always been into plays and theatre?
My first degree was in film and drama.
Oh, true.
Yes.
True.
So there was a point where I guess I got more interested in film. But I do think there are crossovers when it comes to dealing with difficult issues, for sure. So, what Prima Facie shares with films about this subject are the way that the performance is really important, so the performance of the survivor in this case will be really important, whether it's theatre or whether it's film. There are crossovers in terms of how the story is told, so point of view. Mm-hmm. And here, as Laura said, we've got one performer giving us the story, but kind of acting out other people who are part of that story. So point of view, and then also the shape of the narrative as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I hear you've been organising a couple of dynamic forums for Prima Facie. What do those involve?
Well, they're off the back of what I was saying about the kind of recognition of the political nature of this play. So elsewhere, there have been sessions for schools, sessions for judges, there have been education packs produced. Mm-hmm. So it seemed only fitting that, we bring the play here and we make use of the fact that it raises discussions and debates. So that's the first reason for doing this. And the second really is because we've got amazing experts at Otago who all want to have an opportunity to talk about the issues that it raises. So it will consist of two forums. One, which is the inevitable one, really, about the legal issues that it raises. And people who come to that forum, you know, will either be able to learn things that they didn't know or be able to ask questions about what's in the play. And that is on the 6th of November, which is a Wednesday, 8:30, so after the 6 o'clock performance. And there we'll have experts from psychology, law, sociology, gender studies, all over the place, really.
Awesome.
And then the second one, which is, I suppose, connecting the play outwards to the Me Too movement and, you know, various other narratives around sexual violence in the media, is about telling stories of sexual violence. And we'll have people from, again, gender studies, theatre, film and media, and that is on Sunday the 10th at 4 p.m, so after the 2 p.m. performance.
That sounds really important. It reminds me of a recent exhibition that Thursdays in Black, that organisation, did quite recently. They did a really good article in The Critic about that. But nonetheless, we're nearing the end of our corridor here, and very much appreciative of both your time. My last question concerns a quote from the fantastic actor Ben Kingsley, who I'm sure you're both familiar with.
Yes.
weird if you weren't. He has a great quote about any great performance transmitting a kind of momentary grain of universal truth. So I want to know what truth this play is getting across.
Okay, I'm just taking a breath because there's probably quite a few truths, you know, that come up through this. And maybe it pays for both of us to answer this in some way. But the truth is that sexual assault is not a clear-cut case when you're in the courtroom. The way that people remember things changes and shifts, and it's not always black and white like the law demands it to be. So there's a truth in that.
Yeah, I think if we think about truth not in terms of digging and finally revealing the truth, but as a kind of realization, you know, which is often the case in performance or in theatre, I think sadly the truth that's revealed by this play is that Tessa is abused twice. So there's the original rape, and then there's the abuse in the courtroom, you know, which creates a second trauma.
Has to relive it.
Yes, the re-traumatization.
Not just that, but the whole process, the legal process, you know, which goes back to your opening questions about prima facie, is a second kind of abuse.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I really, really appreciate that. And I wish all the best with the play.
Thank you. And just, the forums are free, by the way. The play, the tickets you can buy on Tribooking, but the forum you can, if you want to come to that independently, can be booked via Eventbrite.
Awesome. Yeah. It's running from the 31st till the 17th of November. Tickets are range from $32 to $52, I believe.
Correct, yeah.
And it's not always being shown from 7:30 to 9. Correct.
No, so generally Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays are 6:30 shows, except for this week, confused. Friday and Saturdays are 7:30 and Sundays are 2 p.m.
Well, again, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it, and I'm wishing you all the success.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, that was Catherine Fowler and Lara McGregor talking about the upcoming Prima Facie play on at Allen Hall Theatre. Coming up at 9:30, we have...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.